Enthusiasm that he showed, I think, it was contagious. You felt like I did this morning. You know, sometimes the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is not always with the flesh or the spirit. The flesh is not always with the spirit. And so having the enthusiastic worship service, just being a part of this body of worshipers, hearing the prayers and being a part of those who are administering the various parts of our worship. And then coming and seeing that in spite of the inclement weather today, so many saints are gathered. It doesn't take long for the flesh to catch up with the spirit. And so I feel good this morning that I didn't let the devil win. And I'm so glad that it is the spirit that actually is that which allows us to determine our destiny. I realize that we experienced last week and several of the weeks of this year, we have been involved in the celebration of life for many who have transitioned. But in spite of that, we're still able to witness and to have knowledge that allows us to be happy in circumstances, especially where people who transition make the transition in the Lord. And so we pray for the families and we pray for all, and we hope and pray that each experience allows us to grow deeper in our faith toward our great God. Those of you who are visiting with us, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you. As you can see, this is a good church, and you ought to feel welcome because you are welcome. Amen. Thank you for coming and being a part of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. Let's take 2 minutes and let's greet one another. And then after that, we're going to come back and sing another one of those songs that Marcus has for us. Amen.
I love to praise him. I love to praise I love to praise him. I love, well, I love to praise him. I love, oh Lord, now I love to praise his holy name. I love to praise him. I love to praise him. I love to praise his. I love to praise him. I love his name. You know that I love to praise his holy name. For he's my rock. My rock, my rock, my sword and shield. And he's the will in the middle. I know he'll never, he'll never, no, he'll never. He's just a joy, oh Lord, that I have found. We'll sing hallelujah, hallelujah. I love to praise his, oh Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. I love, well, we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I love, you know that I love. You know that I love, you know that I love to praise his holy name.
Turn with me to John chapter 4. And I want to read in your hearing verses 46 through 54. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the time or at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. As I told you last week, a sign is that which points to something beyond itself. This particular miracle is a sign that is pointing toward Jesus. It's not what is happening at that moment that Jesus wants us to get centered on, but he wants us to see his person, and to realize his purpose for coming. He has come that we may have life, that we might have it more abundantly. He is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. This is what he wants every person to leave with as they view, experience, read about these wonderful miracles or signs. There are lessons for us to learn. And I have at least three. There are many, but I just chose three for us to consider as we see what this great sign points toward in relationship to our Lord. The first one that I want you to see, read with me again, verses 46 and 47. So Jesus, watch this, came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, besought him, this is the King James Version, that he would come down, heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Here's the first lesson that I want us to see. God is concerned with the details of our daily affairs. God is concerned with the details of our daily concerns. Sometimes we think God does not care about everyday routine of life. Does God care about relationships, jobs, or professions, raising children, marital relationships? Does God care about friendships? Does he care about traffic? Does he care about health care? Does he care about what's going on in our world? I believe that if you follow the miracles of Jesus, he puts himself in the everyday routine of life. The marriage feast, going to the feast, but going by Bethesda. Here Jesus comes again, watch the word, again, to Cana of Galilee, where he made water wine, which means that he is in the business of repeating his blessings over and over and over again. When you look at this, you have to understand that Jesus truly does care. Troubles and trials come to all people. The nobleman, his son, which means it comes to the adults, it comes to the youth, it comes to every spectrum, every phase, every age. Sometimes parents don't think that their children have troubles, but they do. I know, even the little bitty children, you get on their nerves, worrying them. And so all of us have these. Here's what I want you to understand. Job was right. Man born of a woman doesn't live but a few days, but his life is filled with trouble. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions. But he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So none of us will escape this world, the troubles that are in this world. We have to live with them, and you have to understand that. But the question is God concerned with these situations that we find ourselves? Matthew 6 and 25 through 33, which I know you know this passage, that is where he says, take no thought for your life. Watch him now. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on is not, watch this, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He is showing you that the life of a man, hear me well, is far more than the routine, mundane experiences that we go through in this life. He is pointing us to a fuller existence of life that you at this moment don't realize is there. But he being God, he knows that your life is not just caught up in the routineness of the everyday experience. He says, if you don't think that I do care about what you put on, where you live and what you eat, he says, you ought to consider the fowls of the air, for they sow not, they don't have jobs, neither do they reap or gather into barns. But watch this, yet your heavenly Father, not theirs, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Then he asked the question, are ye not much more, or are ye not much better than they? So God is simply trying to show us that I do care about every detail of your life. He says, because you can't add a cubit to your stature. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Are you with me? He says, I can spend all the rest of my time there, but know that what he is simply telling us is that he knows what's going on in our daily experience. Here's another, Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Without your Father. But the very hairs, this is how much detail he has, the very hairs of your head. And he knows some of us have less now than we did, you know, are numbered. He knows every hair that falls out of your head. Fear ye not, therefore. Watch this. Ye are more valuable than many sparrows. I hear Peter say, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You're not coming to a master. You're not coming to a savior who does not care. The next point that I want you to see, and that's why people felt comfortable coming to him, because he does care. Let me go on to make another point. And that is that, you know, we go to the doctor, and once we leave the doctor, we go to the doctor with a certain ailment, and once we leave the doctor, we don't want the doctor going home with us. No. And we don't plan to live. The only thing I need a doctor to do is to take care of my ailment. This is what you need to know about Jesus. Jesus does care about everything, but he doesn't want you coming to him just to deal with a situation and then telling him you can move on and I'll come to you again when I need you. Now, that's not the kind of relationship that the Lord is looking for. How do I know? Move to point number two. Read this one with me. Then said Jesus in verse number 48 unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So what is the purpose of the miracle? The purpose of the miracle is to cause belief in him. Are you with me? And so what Jesus says when the man comes to him, I need you to come to my son and heal him because he's at the point of death. In other words, he wants Jesus to come and work a miracle. He has seen him and known, I don't know if he's seen him, but he knew of him working miracles in Jerusalem. He knew of him working miracles at Cana
before. So all this knowledge, he says, anyone who can do that, he can heal my son. But notice what Jesus says, because this is crucial to the lesson. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Here in this verse, he is speaking to the crowd. He is speaking to them, and he is saying, unless you see me overrule nature, unless you see me intervene in the laws of nature that I set, because I set the world in place with laws. And these laws of nature is what governs, and you respond to these, and this is what brings about certain circumstances. If you follow the laws of nature, you live a better life. If you go against the laws of nature, you end up having negative circumstances. That's the laws of nature. Not only have I given you laws of nature, but God has given you laws of morality. And if you follow the laws of nature, follow the laws of morality, follow the laws that God has given us, you and I will live a good life. But in living this good life, it does not free us from the troubles, the afflictions, the diseases, and all of the things that go along with a world that has been cursed because of sin. But you, now this is what I hear him saying to these people as they inquire for a sign. You want me. You won't believe in me unless I come in and overrule the law of nature. You want me to stop the rain. You won't believe unless I stop it. You won't believe me unless I walk on the water. In other words, you got to have a sign. Now, here's what you need to know. This is the second point. Our faith grows by exercising faith in his word. The whole process of spirituality is built on faith. This man has faith in Christ enough to walk 20 miles. He heard that Jesus was in Cana of Galilee, had just come from Jerusalem, and his knowledge of Jesus gave him enough faith to walk 20 miles to get to him, to ask him to heal his son. Jesus wants this man to know that you need to understand, and everybody needs to understand, that you don't have to have a miracle for you to believe in me. How many miracles do I have to perform for you to have faith and confidence in me? Do I have to keep working miracle after miracle for you to know that I am who I say I am? Jesus was frustrated because the nobleman wanted him to come to his son. Watch his faith. Jesus, realizing that his faith is not where it needs to be, and Jesus, hear this well, does not want him to get caught up in the miracle, but he wants to focus his attention on the word that he speaks. You miss that. And the reason I feel like you miss that is because his word is more powerful than what he's going to do for that boy. So here's what he does. He says to the man, he says, go, thy son liveth. Are you with me? Go, thy son liveth. And watch verse number 50. And the man believed the what? Now, does the man see his son? No, because the son is what? 20 miles away. So the only thing that the man can trust is not what he sees, but he's going to have to trust what he what? See, our problem is we're not going to believe him unless we what? See it. But the Lord doesn't want you to believe in him because of what you what? See. He wants you to believe in him because of what you what? So watch the man's faith. It grows. The Bible said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had what? Spoken unto him. And he went his way. Did you not know that chapter 4 has Jesus in Samaria? Are you with me? Because the whole point of this miracle is to move us away from what we see and deal with what we hear from the Lord. If the Lord says it, if it comes from the mouth of Jesus, you ought to believe it. Now watch this. In John 4, verse number 39, I want to show you something. And many of the Samaritans of that city, are you there? Did what? Believe what? For the what? For the what? Did they see a miracle? They believed on it based on what the woman what? See, we're in a situation where we always got to have a sign. God, give me a sign. God said, I don't need you to believe in me because you see a sign. I'm not in that kind of business to keep giving you signs. What I want you to do is believe me when I say what I say. What's this? And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which what? He what? He what? Told me what? So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would what? Tarry with them. And he abode there how many days? And watch verse number 41. And many more what? Believed because of what? And said unto the woman, now we what? Not because of what? For we have what? We have what? We have what? Ourselves and what? And what? That this is indeed the Christ. Let me show you something. The Samaritans have more ability to believe in Jesus without miracles and signs than the Jews. The Jews know God better than anybody. But Jesus says to those Jews, he said, you will not believe in me unless I show you signs and wonders. You know what? I just want us to understand how important the word of God is. Last week I told you, if you don't study just what? Read it. I told you, if you don't watch, if you can't, don't have the time to study it, just do what? You know why? Because that's what? Power in the word of God. No. There's power in the word of God. Every time you read it and you get it off that page, and it's a testimony of those who witness him. There is power in the word of Almighty God. Power. Power to heal a sin sick world. Power to restore a home. Power to help a man walk. Our problem is we don't trust his word. We got to see something. I heard what you said, but you're going to have to show me. Well, I guarantee you, you ain't going to get very far with Jesus, because this miracle is all about taking him at his word. And I'm not just interested in working miracles every day in your life. If I work a miracle today, I got to come back and work another one tomorrow. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to get on board with the laws of nature. This may not, well, preach on, Brother Gibbs. Now watch this. Get this point. God always works providentially. Now what does that mean? What that means is he always takes circumstances and turn them out and work them out for your good. He always takes circumstances and accomplishes his will. Now that's what he does every day. And you don't see him working providentially in your life. You don't see that, but that's what he does. You think that it was your smarts and you thought that it was your ingenuity that got you where you are. No. God is not a God who is way off over there in heaven and then when something happens to you, then he comes rushing into your life. No, he's already there with you. He says, search, feel after me. Lord, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. God is trying to tell you, I'm right there with you in every circumstance. You don't have to call me, I'm already there. But you want me to work a miracle while I'm there? No. I want you to trust my word. He always works what? But he will not always and did not always work miraculously. Only time he worked miraculously was to prove to you that he is the Son of God and that he can do. Let me show you. I'm going to give you one example. My time is running out, but I'm on the same theme, so I can pick up next week. But let me show you something. By miracle, God made the first man. He made Adam full grown. No. Oh. When Adam opened his eyes, Adam was full grown. He had never experienced growing up. He is just grown. First woman put the man to sleep, took a rib. When Adam saw her, she was full grown. Now, do you want God to just keep making men full grown? I'm not in the business of making men full grown and women full grown. once I perform a miracle, now you're going to have to get on the laws of nature and watch me work providentially. So when Cain came along, Cain had to come through the natural. Childbirth. He had to grow up. No miracle. Normal, natural. When you go through your situation, God is not going to come in and work a miracle. He wants you to go through the normal processes, taking him at his word, and working it out. And my last point was going to be this. Do not limit God. Now, I'm going to just say this briefly, but I'll come back and deal with it. Do not limit him present. Don't limit his presence. I don't have to be there to heal. He healed that boy 20 miles away. At the same time that he said, "Thy son liveth," the boy. Don't. God is already with us. He's with you and me at the same time. He's already at your house. He's at your house now. You left your house and he's there while you gone. Don't be like the woman who preacher went to him. I know time ago. Preacher said, "Sister, why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to church?" She said, "No, I got to take care of my chickens and my chickens will suffer if I leave them and come to church." And the preacher said, "Oh, don't worry about that. God will be with the chickens while you're gone." And so when she got to church, the preacher said, "The Lord is here in this place." I thought you said he was going to be with my chicken. Amen. But anyway, that wasn't too funny. I know. All right. You said that's old school. Well, that's all right. Old school still works. All right. Now watch this. The point that I'm making is don't limit God. Please don't. He is already on your job. He's already in tomorrow. He's already in next month. He's already in next year. Don't limit God. Don't feel like you got to have his presence. He's everywhere. I'm in Cana and Capernaum. Second thing, do not limit his power. Don't limit his presence. Don't limit his power. I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And the third one is, do not limit his wisdom. He works on his own timetable. The man wanted him to come and heal. Jesus said, "I'm not going to come over there and heal. Don't you know that's not my plan? That's your plan. That's not mine." Some of us want God to work on our timetable, our plan. He don't work on your plan. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching, but it sure is some good preaching because it's right. Everybody wants, "Well, God, if you do this, now I'm going to believe." No. You believe it because I said it. And if it takes next year, next year, next year, next year, you stay right there. Stay with the word of God. Don't limit his presence. Don't limit his power. And don't limit his plan. His plan supersedes your plan. And I believe that's some of the things that he wants us to gain from this miracle. May God bless you. May God keep you. You've heard the word of God. The essence of all of this is that you would believe in him. Hear what Jesus says. "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. And if you die in your sin where I am, you cannot come." I didn't just come to heal you in this life. I came to take you to my Father's home, in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I don't want you to stay here. I'm going to burn it up. I want you to go with me to heaven. That's why I came, that you can live with my Father, live with me and the Holy Spirit in heaven and the holy angels. That's why you got to believe in me. Repent of your sin. Turn your heart away from sin. But it has to be repentance unto salvation. That means you're going to have to, your repentance must lead you to salvation, lead you to doing what God tells you to do. If your repentance doesn't lead you to doing what God tells you to do, that ain't good repentance. Amen. Otherwise, you're just sorry. Amen. You can't just be sorry and regret what's going on in your life. You're going to have to turn and walk toward God Almighty. Turn and move toward the Word of God. Do what God tells you to do. And then watch God do His work. God will work in your life. Repent of your sin. Confess it to be the Son of God. Tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go down in the watery grave of baptism. Somebody say, I don't see what's in the way. He asked you to see what's in the way. You go because He said it. And He'll do what He does best. He'll wash away your sin. He'll remit you of your sin. He'll put you in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll put the Holy Spirit inside of you and make you one of His. Oh, I know I just went a little bit over time. But don't. Amen, amen. Some of y'all who long-winded in your prayers and all that stuff, y'all cut some of those. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Y'all cut some of those and we'll get out of here on time. All right, I thought I'd just drop that too. Amen. 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 You had to stand over the Lord's table all day. Want me to cut? Mm-hmm. Some more cutting needs to be done. Then that'll give me an extra 5 minutes. Amen. All right. May the Lord be with you till we meet again. Amen, amen. All right, I hope we'll meet again. Now, if you're here, don't take this invitation lightly. The day that you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to that Jesus who healed that man's son 20 miles away. He'll work on your problem. Even though His word was spoken 2,000 years ago, that word is just as powerful today as it was then. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
I keep falling in love with Him over.